Turn please to God's word as we read it in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and I want to say something of the on the things we have from verse 31 onwards. Last Lord's Day at the evening service, I was talking about how we have a great Bible, we have a great God, and we have a great Savior. And tonight I want to talk about something that it's great to be. And my sermon tonight is entitled, It's Great to Be a Sheep. The Lord Jesus speaks about all of mankind in this passage, and he divides all of mankind into the sheep and the goats. And in everything that he has to say, it's abundantly clear that it's great to be a sheep, but that you don't want to be a goat. And I want to focus tonight on what our Lord says about how great it is to be one of his sheep. The first thing I want you to notice from these verses is that Jesus is coming for his sheep. These words speak to us about the end of the world, about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory as the judge of all the earth, and Jesus is coming for his sheep. It's no accident, I believe, that that's the order in which our Lord speaks about things. It is the sheep that he deals with first before he comes to the goats. When Jesus returns, it's not primarily in order to condemn the wicked, though that will certainly happen, but he is coming for his own, and he is coming, to use another picture that the scriptures give us, he is coming to claim his bride, and that's what our Lord looks forward to. He is coming for his sheep, and he is coming to claim his bride. We speak about a couple's wedding day as being their day, and that will be the case for believers when the Lord Jesus returns. That day will be their day. Christ is returning for his sheep. He is returning with a great word upon his lips, and his word to his sheep is come. Come, he will say. Come, you blessed of my Father. Jesus is coming for his sheep. Second thing I want to say is that Jesus is coming with a great inheritance. We're told that he will say to those who are his sheep, he will say to those who are on his right hand, verse 34, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Christ is nothing less than a kingdom to give to his people, to give to his sheep. And in his opening words, he tells us why these people are going to receive this great blessing. It is because they are blessed by his Father. Come, you blessed of my Father. Here we have the grace of God. The sheep are sheep and not goats because God chose to make them as sheep. God chose to bless them, and that's what the Lord Jesus puts first. He addresses his sheep as those who are blessed of his Father. The goats, on the other hand, are those who are cursed. And the ultimate reason why anyone will hear that great word, come, is not because of anything we have done, but it's because we have, first of all, been blessed of God. And that's important to note, that that's how Jesus begins. Come, you blessed of my Father. Some people use these words of Jesus in this passage to teach that people are saved because of their good works. the things that they have done in helping the hungry, and so on. Well, that's not what Jesus was meaning to teach. And it cannot mean that, because Jesus says that the inheritance that he brings is one that was prepared for his people from the foundation of the world, or from the creation of the world. And where were you when the world was founded? Where were you when the world was created? What good works did you have at the time of creation? You didn't have any because you were not around. You had nothing. And yet your reward was already prepared. The kingdom was prepared for you from the very foundation of the world. And so the glory is to God that he is so full of grace that he prepares nothing less than a kingdom, but he prepares it from before the very foundation of the world. And of course, if it is the case that that inheritance is prepared and it's ready from before the creation of the world, well, then it is now prepared. It is now ready. And that should be an encouragement to us if we are among Christ's sheep. Our inheritance is already prepared. There is no question mark hanging over our inheritance. We are pressing on towards something that is there already, and it was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. So Jesus is coming with a great inheritance. And then the third thing I want you to notice is that Christ's sheep have a distinctive mark. Christ's sheep have a distinctive mark. Sheep get marked in a distinctive way to show who those sheep belong to. And the Lord Jesus speaks about the distinctive mark that will be there upon all of his sheep. And while it's important for us to remember that the ultimate reason why anyone will ever be in heaven is because God has chosen to bless them, that does not mean that the lives of those God has chosen to bless are just the same as the lives of those who are not under God's blessing. And when the Lord Jesus comes to do that great work of separating either to his right hand the sheep or to his left hand the goats, when he comes to do that work of judgment, his judgment will not be based on some unseen, undetectable factor such as the blessing of God or the choice or election of God. But we're taught here in the Scriptures that Christ will judge all men on the basis of what they have done. The Scriptures teach us, the Scriptures don't teach us salvation by works, but they do teach judgment according to our works. The goats that are referred to in this passage, they are sent away from Christ because of what he does not see in them. But the sheep are invited to Christ because of what he does see in them. There will be evidence in people's lives that will indicate clearly to Christ whether they are his sheep or whether they are goats. And the words of Jesus indicate that when he looks upon his sheep, he regards them as being worthy of this kingdom that is being conferred upon them. There's a marked difference between what Christ thinks of his sheep and what they think of themselves. Jesus says in verses 35 and 36, he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then his sheep, who are described as the righteous, they are astonished at these words of the Lord Jesus. And they think, well, surely, Lord, you've made a mistake. And verses 37, they'll begin to say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison and come to you? And the Lord assures them, no mistake has been made. And in verse 40, he explains how it is that he can credit them with doing these things for him. He says, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. And the Lord is speaking there about the distinctive mark that there is upon his sheep. And there's several things I want to note from what he's saying here. Note that it is actions that Christ will command. It's things that have actually been done. It's not good intentions. It's not good words, but it is actions. It's not a resolve to do something, but it's the actual carrying out of the thing. That's what Christ will command. The things that you actually get round to doing. Not the things that were on your list that you hoped to get round to doing, but the things that you actually did do. It's actions that Christ will command. Note also that the actions that he will command are actions that are inseparably connected with Christ himself. It's not just good deeds that the Lord will command, but it's good deeds that are done for the Lord's sake. Like the lady we were thinking about this morning, who broke the perfume container and poured the ointment over the Lord. She did it for his sake, and he commanded her. So it will be in the judgment day. People will be commanded for things they've done for Christ's sake. And then thirdly, in order to see clearly what type of actions Jesus has in mind in what he says here, we need to think, what does he mean when he speaks of these things being done to one of the least of these my brethren? When Jesus uses those words, he is not referring to himself as being a human being and referring to all the other human beings that exist in the world. He's not saying that what you do for anyone, he will regard that as being done for him. When he refers to his brethren, he is referring to those who themselves are sheep, to those who are a part of his bride. It is things that are done for Christ's own people that he considers to have been done for him. The Lord Jesus is united with his people. We are in him. He is in us, and he regards what is done for one of his own as being done for him. Now, that is not true for those who are unbelievers. And Jesus' words here, his words don't refer to good things that are done for unbelievers. Of course, he's not saying that we're not to do good things for unbelievers, but that's not what he is referring to here at this point. Note in the fourth place that there is a commendable self-forgetfulness that we see here among Christ's sheep. And when he talks about these good things that they have done. They don't respond, "Oh yes, Lord, I can remember well what you're talking about." That is not there at all. These are not the kind of people who have stored up in their memories thoughts of all the good things they have ever done. They have forgotten these things. They have not dwelt and been thinking about how good they are. These are people who see themselves as sinners and are depending on the grace of Christ for their salvation. And there is a thought here that Jesus is crediting me where no credit is due at all. A commendable self-forgetfulness. People who don't blow their own trumpet and don't keep a record of their own good deeds. And then note fifthly, that in what Jesus is saying here, he is showing that it is very, very important how we treat the Lord's people. If we really love the Lord himself, then we will also love his people. And that is one of the marks of a true Christian. And that's the distinctive mark that Christ looks for in his judgment. It's one of the ways that a false disciple can be detected. Those who don't love the Lord's people are not themselves the Lord's people. The Apostle John puts it very clearly in 1 John chapter 3. In verse 14 he says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death." He says in verse 17 that if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? And verse 18 he says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." And our Lord is not a Savior who is just interested in gathering individuals and saving individuals. Our Lord is interested in gathering a body of people. He is gathering a family of believers. He is gathering a flock of sheep. And we who are Christians, we are Christ's brothers and sisters. And we are part of the same family. And it matters immensely how we see one another in the Lord. This is what Christ is looking for. He is looking for that loving concern for those that he regards as being his sheep. So the Lord Jesus is coming with a great inheritance, and he is looking for those that have this distinctive mark upon them. Those who love the Lord's people are those who are invited to come and receive the kingdom prepared for them. And then the fourth thing I want you to notice in these verses is that Christ's inheritance lasts forever. Last week after the evening service, on the way out, one of our elders, who will remain nameless, but he knows who he is, thanked me for the sermon, and he suggested a fourth great thing that we have. Not only do we have a great Bible, a great God and a great Savior, but we also have a great future. And how right that is. And that's what Jesus is communicating here in this, because that inheritance that he has for his sheep is an inheritance that lasts forever. And right at the end of the chapter, it says that the righteous will go away into eternal life. The last verse of the chapter summarizes the whole thing. It says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment," and that refers to the goats, "but the righteous into eternal life." It is the same word in the underlying Greek, everlasting and eternal. It's exactly the same word. It has become, sadly, rather fashionable among even evangelical teachers in recent times to argue that the punishment that the wicked will receive will be less than eternal. And they argue that the life that is there given by Christ is eternal life, but the punishment that is there is a short-lived thing. But when Jesus spoke these words, he used exactly the same word for the duration of the punishment that he used for the duration of the life. And it is everlasting life. It is eternal life. Our inheritance is an everlasting inheritance. And that is a great thing to know. What the Lord brings is something that will last forever. It's not just a great day that Christ ushers in, but it's a never-ending day that he brings his sheep into. The doctrine of everlasting punishment is not a popular doctrine these days, but that is what Christ clearly taught in these words. But he also teaches that the life that Christ takes his sheep away to is everlasting life. It is eternal life. It will know no end. And perhaps it is by the grace of God that the righteous are taken away by Christ first into their inheritance. Jesus comes and takes his sheep away into their glorious inheritance before he then goes on to deal with the goats. There will be nothing that will spoil for Christ's people the great day when he comes for his people. It will be our day. It will be his day. And every day that follows will continue to be the same. It is a great thing to be a sheep. It's a great thing to be one of Christ's sheep. And this passage is teaching us that is the truth, and that's the reality, and that's the way we're to look upon things. We don't want to be among those goats who are sent away from the Lord. We want to be among the sheep. And the way that this passage holds out for us to test, well, am I among the sheep or am I among the goats? The test is, well, how do we view those who are Christians? Are those people that we want to help and we want to do things for and we want to spend time with? Well, if that's the case, that's an indicator that we ourselves are among Christ's sheep. It is a great and blessed thing to be one of the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that his saved people will rejoice in forever and ever. The Lord is coming for his sheep, and he is going to take them away into eternal life. Amen.